News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Where we begin is with the UK Labour Party, which has essentially descended into open warfare with itself over Keir Starmer's future. Four ministers resigned, 80 MPs urging him to quit. More than 100 others have warned against a leadership contest. And he says that he's not returning and that he is going to be meeting probably the most significant of the pretenders to the throne, that being Wes Streeting, this morning to discuss the issues facing the party. With us is Lucy Fisher, who's Whitehall editor of the Financial Times. Lucy, two overarching questions, I think, to kick us off. First of all, is if he continues as Prime Minister, is he permanently hamstrung by the damage that has been done to him during this phase? And what's the likelihood that he will continue as Prime Minister?
Well, two very good questions. I mean, firstly, he's definitely wounded in a way that even if he staggers on, you know, is not easy to heal. More than, you know, roughly around 100 MPs have come out and publicly called for him to go or set out a timetable for his exit. You know, four members of his government have resigned, as well as a handful of other ministerial aides. And we know that some members of his top team, the cabinet, have also privately urged him to think about his future. That's a genie you can't put back in the bottle. And we can imagine when, after today in the King's Speech, Parliament has returned, you know, when he's at the dispatch box for Prime Minister's question each week, we will hear, you know, chanted at him from the opposition some of the criticism that his own MPs and ministers have laid at his door. So it's going to be very tricky for him now to sort of try and regain a sense of authority. And you know, I think it's an uphill battle to try and do that.
What then about his capacity to regain momentum in terms of policy and strategic direction? Because we spoke yesterday to James Lyons, his former director of communications, who was very critical about the work done in opposition, said that effectively that planning was never done, so they didn't hit the ground running when they came into government. Is there the capacity now to lay out a policy agenda off the back of the King's speech that says to everybody, this is where we're going, let's get unified behind it?
Well, look, I think James Lyons is right. That has become the sort of orthodoxy interpretation that, you know, the original sin of Keir Starmer's administration was a failure to adequately plan for government and get a sort of a policy agenda rolling, ready to go once they got in. And that's why, you know, so many sort of Labour MPs, members of the wider Labour Union, including sort of trade union officials, just think it's sort of fairly unforgivable that after winning that famous majority and therefore having the ability, you know, to sort of command Whitehall and get it to sort of deliver and start implementing policies, that there wasn't, you know, a fully worked out programme. Now, we have the King's speech today. Broadly, we know what we're expecting there, and it isn't anything radical. And that's why, you know, going back to your first question, can he survive? You know, so many MPs now are fearful about whether they can retain their own seat at the next general election, given the disastrous results in English councils, Scottish and Welsh elections last year. And it doesn't feel like in the King's speech there's expected to be anything sort of radical enough to sort of reset Starmer's administration or tie together what he's done so far with a sense of direction ahead and a vision for the country. So it's difficult. And on top of that, you know, all the uncertainty about his leadership coupled with the Iran war means that, you know, gilt yields are up. The cost of government borrowing and servicing public debt is also up. There isn't a lot of money to spend on a big splashy retail offer. And you know, the government is very much constrained by the sort of the fiscal parameters it finds itself in. So it's not an easy hole for the Prime Minister to try and dig his way out of.
Is it a difficult hole for the country to dig itself out of as well? Because over the decades, people may have disagreed with the ideological outlook of certain administrations, be they in government or be they in opposition, but there was a generalised sense of competence. We're up to seven prime ministers, if Keir Starmer doesn't cling on, in a 10-year period. That's starting to look shambolic.
Well, I think that is right. You know, we've had such a high churn rate of prime ministers that I think that is damaging for the country and the UK's sort of ability to be taken seriously on the world stage, you know, at a moment of, you know, real turmoil in the geopolitical landscape. And Starmer had been making a good fist internationally of trying to take leadership roles on Ukraine, in the Strait of Hormuz, and so forth, which is now very much undermined by the domestic turmoil. I think part of this, my analysis would be, you know, is, or a large part of it is the economics, you know, the fact that living standards have been largely stagnant for 15 odd years. Political parties have made, you know, the mainstream or the two main ones have made big promises to the public and been unable to deliver. And people, you know, facing the kind of grueling onslaught of the cost of living crisis for so long now, are, you know, looking away from Labour and Tories and feeling sort of emboldened, if you will, to roll the dice with other insurgent parties and give the sort of populists on the left or right, the Greens or certainly Reform, a chance. So I think the public are increasingly looking at the populist solutions, particularly of Reform, and thinking, why not give them a go?
But as you say, with gilt yields now at an 18-year high, it's very difficult to see how anybody is in an economic position to achieve much in the way of turning the ship around short term. Lucy, thank you. Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor of the Financial Times. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-1.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts. 06.